Welcome to the free version of Sunday night's main event. If you like what you hear, there's plenty more where this came from. Join us at patreon.com/snmeradio and get a commercial-free extended version of this show each and every week, plus numerous other weekly podcasts for only $1 a week. Sign up now at patreon.com/snmeradio.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
Look, I don't know what's going to happen tonight, but boy, is it exciting.
With Dan the Mouth Labransky.
Everyone has a price.
And Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
In clear violation of the law.
The Good Brothers smash AEW's New Year, NXT gives us some evil booking, and Goldberg once again asked, who's next? And the answer is it's Drew McIntyre? Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event. Jason Agnew back with you to give you a recap and rundown of how each major wrestling company kicked off 2021. And as Monday Night Raw, welcome back, legends. We, too, have a rare non-pay-per-view appearance by the legend of this program, Dan the Mouth Labransky. And Mouth, after your frequent mentions of Bill Goldberg on our Worst Of show last week, you have to be elated to see him up here back on your TV on Monday night.
All right, first, don't be calling me a legend because I see how legends get treated, at least in the WWE, and I don't want to be part of that. But yes, the one man that I don't want to see on my TV screen more than anyone, he's back. To me, it's already a mess. It's horrible. Look, I'm not going to do the whole show in the intro. We're going to get into that, everything. And we have a plethora of stuff to get to this week because so much happened.
Yeah, it was a great way to kick off the world of pro wrestling in 2021. Maybe aside from Raw, but Mouth and I are going to take a look back at this week's kickoff to the year, including a very competitive Wednesday night war with both AEW and NXT putting on impressive TV specials. We'll also be joined later in the show by Dave Meltzer to look back at Wrestle Kingdom and get the scoop on what happened with that Goldberg promo on Raw. That did not make sense. We'll get to
it. Train wreck.
Okay, hold on, Mouth. Hold on. Don't make me put you in a straitjacket. Don't make me mute you. Plus, later in the show, the first matchup in the third annual Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament, round 2. All of that is to come, so it's a very loaded, packed show. First, we'll take a break and then come back with the week of news in the world of wrestling. You are listening to Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
Octo is an angry octopus. Usually he's quite surly.
What did you say to me?
But when he gets mad...
You ain't so smart, is you?
He becomes angry.
Go home and brush your sister's hair.
It's been said that his sour attitude is due to a slight disagreement with the Great Lakes Brewers.
Those guys better have eyes in the back of their head.
They said they would use 8 ingredients and Octo's beer would be 8%.
But it ain't!
Octo likes the number 8.
What's not to like about it?
The Brewers apologized for the 8, but that made Octo more irate.
Hey, you wanna go me?
Nevertheless, there's still something likable about Octo.
Your hat looks like a toilet.
Well, sort of.
Sit down!
Octopus wants to fight by Great Lakes Brewery.
That's right!
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
Welcome back to Sunday night's main event, a rare non-pay-per-view appearance from Dan the Mouth Labransky, which is lovely and very, very appropriate. But before we let you rat mouth, let's start off with the week of wrestling news. And we're going to kick things off with Ring of Honor. You see, Ring of Honor posted a brief statement on Monday announcing that the company has mutually parted ways with Marty Scurll. ROH had announced in June of 2020 that they were launching an investigation into accusations made against their contracted wrestlers during the hashtag speaking out movement. A woman alleged during the speaking out movement that while drunk, she was sexually assaulted by Scurll when she was 16 years old in 2015. Scurro responded by releasing a statement saying that a sexual encounter did happen, but it was consensual. Scurro also claimed that the encounter was legal, as the age of consent in the United Kingdom is 16. In a second statement, Scurro said, "Although I did not become aware of her age until after the encounter, the reality of the age disparity is not lost on me." Scurro had been with Ring of Honor since 2016. In January of 2020, Scurro signed a new contract with ROH that also saw him join the promotion's booking team. Scurro's removed from the ROH roster page in October, and we're going to chat more with Dave Meltzer about possible options for Scurro under this cloud of controversy. Now, on the flip side of things for Ring of Honor, they did announce the re-signings of Bandido, Bateman, Mark Haskins, and Brian Johnson this week, and we don't mean the AC/DC guy mouth, so don't be confused there.
Did you put that joke in just for me?
Just for you. Yeah. Just because I was co-hosting with you, and all musical references are applicable.
Up the ante, all right. The ratings fell huge this past Wednesday night for both of the warring shows, but that was because of the chaos that hit the United States, obviously, with the storming of the Capitol building, and thus everyone was really glued to the news. AEW Dynamite, though, did average 662,000 viewers on TNT, and NXT averaged 641,000 viewers on the USA Network.
Along with putting on a pretty solid New Year's Evil show this week, NXT slid in a couple major announcements on the show. The next TakeOver pay-per-view will be on February 14th. Yep, that's Valentine's Day, friends. Nothing quite like curling up with that special someone to enjoy a night of NXT wrestling.
Also, NXT announced the first ever Women's Dusty Classic Tag Team Tournament. No start date or participants have been announced as of yet, but this sure seems to be like a rebuttal to the AEW Deadly Draw Tournament from this past year. And personally, I would like to see the return of an Evolution-style pay-per-view here for the ladies. I just don't think they have the teams to pull a tournament like this off.
Well, you know, Matt, I'm kind of curious because I don't have a problem with this. I kind of like the idea of the Dusty Tournament being all women this year. That's cool. But then why are we watching a men's one as well? Once again, okay, this is another more is more type of deal that they're doing. Choose one or the other.
And just the fact that really, why not to make it more unique, keep them separate? Like, just, you know, I think the women should just have a solid stacked pay-per-view Evolution style and not even be associated with the Dusty Classic. I think that would be much better.
You know, why not, if you're going to do a tournament, why not the return of the Mae Young Classic? I mean, they've really made that a thing. They've branded it. Mae Young is someone they love to promote. Why flip this and just do what they're doing with the guys? It's almost like the parody booking of tournaments.
Yeah, now it's come down to the tournaments themselves. Yeah, there you go. 50-50 forever.
Yeah, well, the Men's Dusty Classic is starting this week, and if you're unsure as to what teams are in it, which you probably don't know, here's the list that WWE released. We've got Undisputed Era, but this year it's Cole and Strong as the team. Ever Rise, Breezango, Kurt Stallion and August Gray, Killian Dane and Drake Maverick, Imperium, the Grizzled Young Veterans, Legado del Fantasma, NXT North American Champion Johnny Gargano with Austin Theory, I guess we could just call them The Way, Isaiah Swerve Scott and Jake Atlas. What is that team? Scott just made a heel turn and Atlas is a babyface. That's weird. Kushida and Leon Ruff. What is that team?
That's very bizarre, that one. Yeah.
And I guess they needed to fill a spot because the Bollywood boys are in it.
There you go. Well, that's it. This is where everybody gets their spot type of thing. Whether it'll be a good tournament, we'll see. Whether it means anything at the end is the important part, and that's always questionable.
Yeah. Who would you bet on right now, Mouth?
Oh, wow. Maybe Imperium?
Really? I don't know. I'm thinking that maybe we have the win here because for Killian Dane and Drake Maverick, because they've done a lot of jokey stuff, but I could see them taking it to the end. And honestly, I see some tension with Cole and Strong.
Right.
Cole and Strong have some tension. And I wouldn't put it by Gargano and Theory because I really like this The Way gimmick. Johnny's just so great with his promos with Candace and the crew.
Yeah, they make a very interesting faction in an era right now where we're seeing factions like crazy. Here's another interesting one, and so far it's been fun to watch.
Definitely. Yeah. All right, over to your world now.
Okay, that's right. On this week's AEW Dynamite, I'm so happy about part of this. Part of it's not so great,
right.
But the Britt Baker Thunder Rosa match, that's pulled due to Thunder Rosa coming in close proximity to someone that actually had COVID-19. That's why the NWA Women's Title match between Serena Deeb and Taya Conte was announced this past week. And though this is the part I like, we get to see the Dynamite debut of Baker's Waiting Room, and it's going to be with Cody Rhodes. So I'm very much looking forward to that.
Listen, card subject to change, but I'm going to drop a little news on you here. Tentatively, our guest next week on this show, Britt Baker.
Oh, that is amazing, Jay. That is amazing. Can't
card
wait.
Subject to change, but that is the hope. It's in negotiation right now.
Okay.
Remember a few months back when Nick Jackson disappeared from AEW TV? Well, we got the reason why just yesterday as Nick put up a post on his Instagram that he was battling COVID-19. Jackson posted the following. I had a pretty bad case of COVID in early September that kept me bedridden for nearly 3 weeks. I couldn't taste or smell for 2.5 months. At one point, my whole body had hives in it, and my doctor said that it was definitely from COVID. Matt had to do the majority of the work in matches once I returned safely because I couldn't catch my breath. My cardio is finally back, but it took months to finally feel like myself again. Let's protect each other and wear a mask.
Yeah, amazing. That's quite the revelation there.
They did keep that very quiet.
Yes, yes. They seem to be good at that in AEW. Here's a highlight for your Monday night. Yeah. The WWE has announced that Drew McIntyre will face Randy Orton in a non-title match on Raw tomorrow, which almost instantly guarantees that Orton is probably going to win. The WWE is also pushing that McIntyre will address Goldberg's challenge for a WWE championship match at the Royal Rumble. Well, he better, since they totally messed it up on Monday, and watching it, you were just like completely confused. So they got their work ahead of them now.
We will talk about that in the very next block. But before we get there, in case you don't recall, Impact Wrestling has a pay-per-view this coming Saturday, January the 16th. They actually had an event last night as well. They actually put on a streaming event last night, as I mentioned. It's called Genesis. But next week's card has received a bit of hype because Kenny Omega will be teaming with the Good Brothers to face Rich Swann and the Motor City Machine Guns. If you're planning on buying the card, you're also going to get Deonna Purrazzo versus Taya Valkyrie for the Knockouts Championship, Manic versus Chris Bay and Rohit Raju for the X Division Championship, Havoc and Neviup versus Kira Hogan and Tasha Steelz in the Knockouts Tag Team Title Tournament Finals. Another women's tag team tournament there, Mouth. I didn't even realize that as we talked all about the WWE one or NXT one earlier. Sami Callihan facing Eddie Edwards in a barbed wire massacre match. Eric Young, Cody Deaner, Joe Doring are going to face Tommy Dreamer, Rhino, and Cousin Jake in an old school rules match. That means no DQ and no count out. Is that old school rules? Is that? I was unaware. And finally, Ethan Page will face Karate Man. That's actually him facing himself somehow, some way, because Karate Man was portrayed by Page.
Yeah,
this
right.
match was taped during the November tapings because Ethan Page has been not released, but
he's
his contract expired.
Yeah, he left. Yeah.
He is on his way out of Impact Wrestling, unknown as to where he will fall in next. All right, that wraps up our news. I have a question for you, though, Mouth. You know, we've got Omega on this pay-per-view. Will you be checking out Impact Show next Saturday night, Genesis? Hard to Kill.
Yeah, it's certainly intriguing to see where they're going to go with it, and especially with the stuff they did on AEW this week as well. So for me, yeah, I am actually tempted to order the show and check it out because of this alliance. I mean, it's totally benefiting Impact. That is for sure.
That is true. We'll see where those numbers rate right now, though. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Mouth gets to rant about Goldberg. That's where we're going to leave it. We'll do that next. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Dan the Mouth Lowransky.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old f**ks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty farts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the old f**ks. Tough guy!
Right now, you're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event, and you're hearing this ad. Yep, it's a commercial. And it could be your commercial. we've got sponsorship packages available to suit any budget, so I could be talking about what you're selling. For more information, email me, jason@snmeradio.com. Get the message out about your product or service to thousands of listeners via TSN Radio and around the world with our podcast. It all starts with an email to jason@snmeradio.com.
Because when you address these guys and girls, these legends up here, you look at them as a bunch of washed up, tired old men and women. In your mind, you think that now in your prime, you were better than every one of them in their prime. And that's where I step in. It's about respect. So, don't think that I'm coming out here and I'm demanding anything by any stretch. Don't think that I'm coming and posing a threat. No, sir, I am coming to challenge you. And that at the Royal Rumble.
Welcome back. Sunday night's main event. Nearly a week after that promo, the return of Goldberg on Monday night. And as we've joked about in the intro and news, no one better to have on the show co-hosting with me this week from the crew than Dan the Mouth of Vransky. Mouth, I got to admit, I found it so funny to see Goldberg on the show a day after we put out our worst of and Goldberg was mentioned over and over and over again by you.
Yeah, just my, I guess it's my fault then. I had some bad karma. It's coming back to bite me on the ass on that one for sure. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. And the thing with me is I don't want to see him there anyways, and I don't think he adds a lot of value. But then when I saw the execution and what they did on Monday night, I was just so confused. Goldberg came out. He cut the promo. I didn't know what he was talking about. Drew being disrespectful. Drew was just flexing with Hulk Hogan right before this part. So it just made no sense at all and made it really super confusing, head-shaking angle at the end of it. I mean, wrestling often confuses us, but this one was just completely bizarre. But we know what happened now.
Yeah, so we'll talk to Dave about this, but it has come out. It looks like WWE messed up the time. And
yeah.
Originally, you could see Drew grabbing for the microphone, and I guess Drew was supposed to make a promo, dissed the legends.
Some way, he was supposed to cut something, exactly, that made it something that would make Goldberg upset enough to come out and get in his face.
But even so, we just watched Randy Orton absolutely crap on Mark Henry, Big Show, and most of all, Ric Flair.
Yep.
So what? No matter what Drew said there, it is not as bad as what Randy has done. Why isn't Goldberg upset at Randy Orton?
Absolutely. And why would you go to that same thing with Drew McIntyre?
Right.
If you've done this whole show with Randy Orton and what, at the end now Drew's jumping on the train? Like, this made absolutely no sense at all. And yeah, it was horrible. And I didn't much care for the Randy Orton stuff either, man. Especially the one with Mark Henry, for some reason, hit me hard. Maybe just because he was rehabbing his knee and stuff there. And I just, you know, it was not fun to watch. And then to add it on at the end like this, I was just like, this is overkill. This is ridiculous.
Okay, before we get to Legends Night, because that's a whole nother topic here, I actually want to focus a bit more on Goldberg.
Sorry.
There's so much. You know, normally this show, I mean, we're almost a week beyond Raw, and I don't lead with this, but this was just so baffling.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to lead with this, explain it a little bit, and then really break it down. Because you look at this Drew McIntyre angle. Drew McIntyre is a protected performer and is actually the one person that you could say WWE has done a good job of building as a babyface. They're not good with babyfaces. Drew has been utilized very well. But in this particular angle, Drew is looked upon as the heel who is insulting the legends. So that doesn't make sense. I personally don't have a problem with Goldberg. I'll be honest with you, Mouth. I actually like Goldberg in the way that he can be used when he comes in. If he were to come in, for instance, with Reigns, I got to admit, I was really looking forward to all the teases with Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. We see the match we did not see last year. You know, Paul Heyman is the one that had Reigns build that guillotine choke and try to get it over. Because I've been saying over and over and over again, spear into guillotine choke, and that is the end, and the head of the table reigns supreme and destroy.
Right.
It's very similar to what Bret Hart did here in Toronto in that glorious moment when he put the steel plate on his chest and knocked out Goldberg.
Right.
And it's smart. It would prove that Reigns is smarter than the dumb Goldberg who smashes his head into lockers all the time. I was looking forward to it. What is this? This makes beyond no sense. Is that a thing?
Well, you know, yes, easily with this company. You know what it looks like here? Honestly, this looks like they're going to put the title on him.
And
this,
I want,
this to me looks like Drew is going to drop the title to him at the Rumble so they can do something bigger at Mania with Goldberg. But I think, like, you know, you talk about Goldberg coming back and that, and it doesn't bother you. I think what bothers me is he never, what you've talked about is he never used properly when he does come back. Like, that scenario you just described is how Goldberg should be used. But that never happens when he comes back. He always seems to get the upper hand and walk away over a guy that's got to stay behind while he leaves. So it just drives me crazy when they bring this guy in. And this looks like it's going to be the same thing again now.
2016, the Royal Rumble. Goldberg defeats Lesnar for the title. 2017, Fastlane. He defeats Kevin Owens for the title. 2020, Super Showdown, a match that was referenced over and over again last week.
Yep.
He defeats Bray Wyatt for the title. Then he would drop that title to Braun Strowman. Like, what a debacle that happened last year. And, Mouth, I even give less chance of this ridiculous angle working now that Bill Goldberg is not being managed under the supervision of an angle that is being written by Paul Heyman.
Yeah, I don't know. Unless they do some, they've got some major damage control to do this work. They've really got to kind of explain why this is happening and what is going on here. Because at the moment, it's just a complete mess.
All right, Legends Night was Monday. You know, there's a subtle and expected ratings boost, but you already touched on this. You know, I know these legends, I guess, are hungry for money, but the way they come back and the way they are utilized, they're either useless or they're belittled. Those are the
pathetic
two options.
Yeah, it's horrible. Some of them, I can't believe it's for the money, Jay. I really think a lot of them, it's the spotlight. They still, Hogan, it's the spotlight. Although
Hogan's treated okay.
He needs the money after the divorce, I guess.
Well, Hogan's treated okay, though, Mouth. I mean, he was the exception to the rule where he wasn't belittled. He was there. I really, really enjoyed Drew McIntyre and Hogan cutting that promo together. I thought that was a beautiful segment and exactly what you want to do with your baby face. That was the rub.
Right. It's just the other ones. Anything where you're like belittling your legends is just not good, and fans do not want to see it. Even if it is Mark Henry, I don't want to see him. I just do not want to see him belittled. I certainly don't want to see Ric Flair belittled, and I certainly don't want to see other guys belittled either. So it's ridiculous, and I don't know why they do it. Why they keep doing it all the time. I don't know if it's Vince's sick sense of humor or what, but it's very disheartening to see these people get treated like this.
Even with someone like The Big Show, Paul White is a comedically gifted performer. We've seen this over and over again. Mouth, I just watched an entire sitcom that he starred in, and you know
He
is pretty damn good in it. If you're going to bring Big Show back, get rid of this he's a monster. Instead, make him the happy-go-lucky guy. I'm fine with that, and I would have been happier if each one of these legends who could actually do a pin someone for the 24/7 title. I'm fine with that use, a comedic use of these guys that are mid-card legends. Why? Tatanka didn't even say anything. Why didn't he pin R-Truth?
Yeah, poor guy had to do the full makeup and everything and just stood there. Yeah, he's not what you would call a huge legend, but still, it was still the waste of the guy, that is for sure.
Also, how long can Randy Orton be considered a legend killer when he himself is a 40-year-old man that in WWE, let's be honest, the guy will be considered like an actual legend. Like, he is a significant performer in the history of WWE. So why is he still beating up other guys? Someone needs to come in and beat up, kill the legend killer. Who's that going to be? Where's that performer?
That's a great question. And you could have guys that you could have worked it with. There are certain guys from NXT that come up that could have worked with him, that could have done this thing. But that's the thing, that it's like they get stuck in this rut and they just happen to go back to the same things. It's like, oh, well, we can always go back to him being the legend killer and we'll bring a few legends on and he can insult them and belittle them and we'll reestablish that for a while. And then we'll go back to making him the Viper for a while. And then, you know, it's just, he's there, like you say, he's one of the few big guys that they have right now that really could have legendary status, and I just think they feel they have to have him in that main mix, and I guess it's this is idea of trying to keep him fresh or change it around a bit, but it's not, because we've seen it a million times already.
Randy Orton and the word fresh should never be used in the same sentence.
Unfortunately, yeah.
You mentioned people coming up from NXT and the possibility of them doing well. That's just not the case. I want to take a look at two of them here before we have to say take a break. First of all, Angel Garza. Mouth, there's no doubt in my mind that this man has a little bit of the Eddie Guerrero heat gene within him.
Well, not even that, but just to jump in, his uncle, Hector Garza,
yes,
had the huge heat gene. He was one of the, his time in Mexico, he was one of the best heels they ever had. He just was so slimy and gross, and Angel has it, his nephew has it, and to see him continually being wasted in these vignettes and stuff, certainly like with Torrey Wilson on Raw and that, it's just, the guy has so much potential to be a good heel, and they waste it. They squander it.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned Hector Garza, and that didn't even cross my mind, but I remember that there was a time. We've been working together for a long time. And many, many years ago, Hector Garza was on...
WCW.
No, it was Impact.
Oh, but he was in WCW, too, in that initial flurry there, when they used to bring in all the luchadors. He was on there a bit.
So you had him also on Impact, and what I remember is he was about to get a push, and then I believe there was something to do with marijuana, and he was unable to get back over the border, and that put an end to his push in Impact. Do you remember that?
Yes, yeah, I do. Yeah. I do. And tragically, he's a guy that also died very young, unfortunately, and his real potential was never reached. But I see the same things in Angel, and I think if you gave him the ball, he would certainly run with it.
How can you be a Lothario that never gets the girl?
Yeah,
that's what he is.
Right. Doesn't make sense. Yeah, it doesn't. We should see some other vignettes where, yeah, he is making it with the girls for sure. No, he looks like a total failure already.
Yeah, if you're going to do this, and why don't you have him flirt with, he could even flirt with someone on one brand and then show up on another brand and flirt with someone else. And
right.
Then eventually you can have that match, and then the two women turn on him. Like, this isn't rocket science here.
Yeah, no, I think there's tons, like I said, I've said for the third time now, I think he has tons of potential, and I really, really, really bugs me to see him just being wasted like that when there's obviously talent there that should be utilized.
Well, speaking of wasted talent, Matt Riddle is who we're going to talk about next. He sneaks away from Bobby Lashley. Now, the babyface here does win. Riddle wins in a non-title match. That makes sense. But why did he have to tap out beforehand and then sneak a win? What is this? It's a non-title match. This is an easy way for Riddle to get a strong victory and then go for the title thereafter. That's just booking 101.
Yeah, I'm not sure why they felt they needed to do that either. I don't know if they felt with Lashley, they had to look like Lashley almost had it won, but that doesn't make sense because he's the heel. I don't know. It didn't make a lot of sense to me either, especially when the sneak win came so quick after. It came right after. So I'm like, yeah, didn't make sense to me either. Sorry. Can't help you, Jay.
I'm trying to figure out what the end game is with Bobby Lashley as well, because, you know, he is someone that is, aside from maybe Randy Orton, is the most protected performer. Randy Orton, Roman Reigns, maybe Drew, Bobby Lashley. But I feel as though those other guys are so much on a higher plane than Bobby Lashley is as far as where they are on the card. So what's the deal with keeping Bobby Lashley so strong? What is he being kept strong for?
That's true. That's a good question. And especially to me, I see a lot more potential in someone like a Matt Riddle.
Oh, yeah.
Like, to me, this should be used, this should be at this point, because let's face it, Jay Lashley has never been really used properly. And I hate to say it, but the taint is on him. And I find it very hard to be, for him to be put in bigger angles and be anything convincing. So let's use him here and put Matt Riddle over, who I still think has a little bit there before you destroy it completely, and try to get a new guy over that I think fans will naturally take to.
I kind of disagree with you with Bobby Lashley. I think that there was potential. Remember when he came back, it was right after a WrestleMania, and I was like, they're bringing Lashley back, and Lashley is a Lesnar opponent, and they're going to play on the MMA background. And they did nothing of the sort.
Well, see, that should have told you right there. And have they done anything since? Like,
no.
Honestly, Jay, really, I mean, the Hurt Business, I suppose, has helped a bit. But to me, he's still got that taint of, like, it's just like Nakamura getting a title shot. It's like, so what?
Nakamura. I mean, we'll talk about. Okay, we're not going to do SmackDown yet. I want to talk about. Let me just talk about one bright spot here on Raw. And to me, I'm very much enjoying the ongoing angle that is being done with Cedric Alexander. Although it's probably a little bit too early to be breaking him away.
Yeah, they haven't really established themselves as strong enough of a team to be doing that.
But this is definitely shades of The Rock and the Nation of Domination. This week, he's selfish. He loses the match to the Lucha House Party. He makes Sheldon very angry, and MVP has got to defuse the situation. I like this. Ultimately, though, Mouth, how much potential? Like, what's the ceiling for Cedric Alexander?
Well, that is it, see? And, yeah, well, that's it. You're in a tough spot here because you're with two guys that really haven't been pushed away. Certain, I mean, look at Shelton Benjamin. He hasn't been used properly the whole time he was there originally. Like, it's just been a mess. And now he's with someone like Cedric who hasn't really been worked as well. And I honestly don't think he's a guy, really, that is going to be, people are going to buy into in a top program anyways. I mean, I would still obviously have, you know, try to work this for Cedric coming out of it. But then again, he would have to kind of almost be the heel. And I don't know if he's good as a heel by himself. It's a tough one. I don't know.
Is he the heel, though? Because that faction could remain the heels.
He could spin out as the babyface. I guess.
You know, and you talk about them being performers that are not necessarily at the, you know, the top of the card or haven't been utilized, right? But could you not say the same thing for Mark Henry and Kama and Farouk back in the day?
Yeah, no, that it's very true. It's very
true. I'm curious to see if he is allowed on his own what he can do promo-wise. You know Cedric's got it in the ring. I mean, his finisher is devastating looking. Mm-hmm. It is amazing. But can he handle himself on the mic? Would he be able to exist unto himself and survive and stand out on Monday Night Raw?
Yeah, and you know what, too? I don't know if he could do that as a babyface.
As the
Cedric Alexander style babyface that we've seen in the past, I don't know if fans would really get into that. The booking would have to be strong once they make the break with him, and I just don't know if that would happen.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll take a look at the SmackDown side of things. Nakamura, a push? What's happening? Adam Pearce in the ring? Roman Reigns, still the Godfather? All of that is to come when we return. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Hello, Gordy Levesque here. No one swings and hacks like I do. And no one struts quite like I do, too. And no one brews beer like Great Lakes do. Canuck Pale Ale. My beer, your beer. Our beer. Available in over 400 LCBO and grocery store across Ontario for only $2.80. Great Lakes Brewery. Brewed for you, Ontario.
I'm Manny Arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand. 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Run Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
You've got to count. This is an official legal cover.
And Adam
Pierce is one.
Are you telling me that Adam Pierce is going to challenge the Universal Champion Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble?
Welcome back to Sunday night's main event, and that is laying out a match for the Royal Rumble. Adam Pierce versus Roman Reigns. Co-hosting with me this week, Dan the Mouth Lavransky. Mouth, unexpected that Adam Pierce is getting back in the ring. I love Roman Reigns' character, but I'm not completely sold on this, though it is at an event that it doesn't need to be a main event of.
Yeah, and you know what you should use this for, honestly? If it was me putting this together and they want to go this way, I would use it to actually put a little bit of shine on Adam Pierce here and let him come back and actually have a fairly competitive match with Reigns and really push that in the commentary, and the fans get this idea that as an authority figure, he's a little bit of a badass as well, and it might enhance that character in terms of working with other people. But otherwise, I guess it's another win for Reigns to keep the shine on for him as well, leading into the bigger shows.
Did you notice how Michael Cole referred to Adam Pearce? I think he full out said he tried for WWE. He wasn't good enough. And
oh my
they
goodness.
Laid that out. I just want to. So for those of you that aren't familiar with Adam Pearce, a 5-time NWA champion and former Ring of Honor performer. Now, listen, the NWA championship obviously wasn't in a great era there, but this guy has a lot of in-ring time. I mean,
he
has been a performer, a wrestler for a long while, and he's not all that old as of yet either.
No, exactly. I think you have a chance here to do some genuine storytelling, some good storytelling here. You could give us a little bit more background on this Adam Pearce character rather than him just being some guy that all of a sudden showed up and he's an authority. Like, give us some background and show how he can be an authority figure and that he has a little bit of a tough side in that. Like, I mean, that's, and then at the same time, you can just keep Reigns. He gets the win ultimately, but you've put a little bit of shine on Adam Pearce. I think it's a good idea. Now, I don't think they'll go that way. They'll probably just have Roman beat him quick and that'll be it. But I think you could really help the Adam Pearce character.
I also don't really understand how they got there. So they did the gauntlet match, and bear with me here. Ray beat Sammy. That was kind of fun. Nakamura beat Ray, and then a beatdown afterwards suggested that Corbin, Ray, and Dominic are going to have a program. Then Nakamura goes on this crazy winning streak. Nakamura defeats Corbin. Nakamura defeats Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, that was the one for me. I thought for sure Bryan was over. And I'm like, I want to see that match. I'd like to see that match.
Well, it makes sense if Daniel Bryan goes over here.
Yeah.
Because if you replace what happens next with Daniel Bryan, it makes a hell of a lot more sense. Because Nakamura, a heel, was beaten down by Reigns and Uso. Like, where was Daniel Bryan? Number one, he should have been this person beaten down. Number two, where was he for the save? Like, would it not have made more sense with Daniel Bryan, considering they're already teasing the tension that Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns had at the Royal Rumble years ago?
Yeah, it's I don't know. I just, to me, like, just having Nakamura win no one's gonna buy into that he's any kind of challenge for Reigns in a match, right? And at least if you had picked Daniel Bryan, you had that because of exactly what you've talked about. They've built up that story amongst them. There's something there to grab. There's nothing there with Nakamura. It's just kind of empty. So to me, it should have totally been Daniel Bryan, and I'd actually be interested in that program. Whereas this, I'm like, well, okay, I think I know what's gonna happen next.
I think there's also a possibility that so Goldberg could very well beat Drew McIntyre and then go ahead and do something with Roman Reigns. He could come back. I had this fantasy booked for me by someone who wrote in and said Goldberg will beat Drew McIntyre and then he'll go ahead and also win the Royal Rumble and we'll have a champion versus champion match at Mania.
Wow, I so don't want to see that. I so don't see that because I would be afraid that the way that they would book it. You know, I don't know. It's not a match I want to see. I don't think it's really anything that helps, especially. And I buying Goldberg winning the Royal Rumble
number
after
30.
He hasn't been around forever. Why does he get number 30?
Number
right?
30. Yeah, number 30. And it's Goldberg.
Horrible.
And it's unprecedented. It would be exciting.
It's horrible. It's horrible because it just makes the rest of the roster look like they mean nothing.
Okay, that's valid. That's valid. But if that is not the case, then there still needs to be an opponent built for Roman Reigns for WrestleMania. And Daniel Bryan has gone out of his way to say, you know, his quest is to win a Royal Rumble. They seem to have a tease, at least this week in their minds, or last week they had the tease of Daniel Bryan. This could change, but honestly, Mouth, I wouldn't be surprised if Daniel Bryan wins the Royal Rumble and then challenges Roman Reigns for the title at WrestleMania. You bring back the history of Reigns winning that Rumble that took place in Philadelphia, where everyone wanted Daniel to win. So there is that there. So if that's the case, then why didn't you leave Daniel Bryan in this match so that you even added to that potential angle?
I can't argue with anything you've said because it all makes complete sense. And again, I want to emphasize, I want to see a Roman Reigns Daniel Bryan program. I think that to me is compelling. That to me is because I know Bryan's input will be awesome, and he'll try to put together a match with Reigns that'll suit the two of them. And it just worked. Like, and Nakamura, I hate to say it because you know he's one of my favorites from his New Japan work, but the taint is on. No one buys that Nakamura is going to come anywhere close to doing anything, unfortunately, at this point.
Let's talk a little bit about other things going on in the world. Weeks ago, Mouth, I believe I actually asked you the question on one of our shows asking, hey, is it better for Big E to defeat Sami Zayn for the title or to just lose and not have a title? Because if he lost, that's crappy for him. And if he wins, then they'll feel the need to beat him all the time. What happened this week? Apollo Crews manages to get a strange, controversial pin in their match. What? Apollo Crews, I guess, making a heel turn here, but is Big E, I mean, should he not be built as a potential opponent for Roman Reigns? They had the ability with Big E. Let's not forget, Big E Langston.
Well, they've been doing all that stuff on Talking Smack, where Big E has been getting in Paul Heyman's face and stuff like that, where I thought that's where they were going to go with this.
On top of that, look back at the character that Big E used to be, pre-New Day and pre-main roster, right? Big E was an NXT champion. He had the gimmick of the five count. Let's do it again. Yeah. People barely know that. And you can retell that story on SmackDown.
No, I agree. I think it would be great. And again, I like it better when they give characters a little bit of history. Like, they always want to create these guys, and it's like they live in this void of this is where they are right now, and nothing that comes after or before or is going to matter at this moment. And I really think that would be a great idea to acknowledge that older history, and Big E comes out as being a little bit more of a badass now that he's on his own.
I also didn't care for Big E just accepting the tie that he had with Apollo. To me, it was reminiscent of a babyface settling for something that was a bit of a devious a way of keeping a title. Like when Bayley accepted the women's title when she wasn't deserving of it. That hurt her babyface character to no end. Now, granted, Bayley's a great heel right now, but her babyface character was destroyed by her accepting that title and not deserving it.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the thing. There has to be some fire to your baby face, right? You just don't want him to resign so simply. So, again, it's the same old story, Jay. They have a piece of talent that they could utilize much better, and they're not, unless they're just fooling around now and they're going to do something with Big E in the farther into the year. I don't know, but I doubt it. But I agree. To me, and again, Big E versus Roman Reigns. I would like to see that. I would like to see that program. Yeah. It's something new. We haven't seen it before.
Yeah. Ziggler versus Rude. Well, they're the Dirty Dogs, and they're also the tag team champions. How do you feel about Street Profits losing these titles so quickly? I mean, I'm guessing they're going to go right back to them, but they made the championship change this week.
I don't know. Street Profits seem to be definitely getting over. I think the fans like them. They're enjoyable to watch. They're fun. They add some humor to the show. The parade of raining cups when they come out and all that kind of stuff. And I most people that I've talked to enjoy the Street Profits. So I'm not sure. Ziggler and Rude, they've done nothing. They're just thrown together. No one cares about them. Giving them a name doesn't really make them a team in my eyes. The Dirty Dogs, it doesn't really work. And the Street Profits, they're popular. Why would you do that? Unless, like you say, they're going to do a flip, which they might. They like to do that.
They're going to do a flip or a flip cup, one of the two. I don't necessarily mind it. I think by giving Ziggler and Rude a team name and they've given them gear that matches, it makes sense. They seem to be going that route with these two guys, and you might as well. I mean, they need tag teams in WWE. Other things on SmackDown, Sonya Deville is back with no justification, and now she's Adam Pearce's assistant. Nice suits.
Yeah, again, this was just one of those things where we're just going to drop it on you, and you just got to take our word for it.
I like her, and I feel she had a really bad year. I just wish that they had justified it somehow.
Right. Yeah.
As opposed to just having her. Last week, she just walked around in the back. They just did one vignette where she walked around. This week, she's Adam Pearce's assistant. Unless, Mal, what you're doing here is you're doing an angle with Adam Pearce where Roman Reigns is going to destroy him. And what they've done is they're actually going to give Sonya Deville a very prominent behind, backstage role. And she will now be the authority figure once Adam Pearce is destroyed at the Royal Rumble.
Ooh, that's a little dicey. I don't know about that one. That's a lot to put on her shoulders, I would have to say. To put that type of character is hard to do, I think, in this day and age. I mean, certainly myself, I'm tired of the authority figure. And I realize it has to be there for certain angles sometimes. But that's a lot to put on Sonya Deville's shoulders. I don't know if she would be up for that or not. I don't know if it would necessarily work.
If you remember back before Sonya had to leave, she was cutting some pretty mean promos on Mandy Rose. She was at, very, very good promos. I'm not talking just above average. Like, I'm talking an excellent, excellent promo. I remember one SmackDown, she did the promo of, you got everything you want, you got the push, I'm standing here beside you, and you've never given me anything back. And it was excellent. So, if they're going to give her a chance, great. Just justify coming back. All right, just like Raw, let's do a little positivity. Bayley and Bianca. This is great. These two interacting is wonderful.
Yeah.
And Bianca, let's win the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a kick out of the segment they did this week where they got in each other's faces. I thought they were good, and they didn't really kind of tear each other down. They both still looked strong. They seem to have a chemistry together with each other. So, and I think they'll work out good in the ring, too. So yeah. So honestly, Jay, what better choice do you have to win the Royal Rumble? Honestly. For the women. I mean, unless they go like Charlotte.
That's what I was just going to say. So do you want me to answer for WWE? Because the answer will be and always will be Charlotte for anything they think of. Here's one for you, though. And I think I mentioned this on the midweek markout this week. We're in next hour. We're going to talk about Rhea Ripley. Don't start yet. But with what just happened with Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley can be moved brands, can show up, can win the Royal Rumble. If you manage to get a title on Charlotte, she can then show up and say, Charlotte, you beat me for my title last year. This year, I'm coming at you for your title. And at WrestleMania, Rhea Ripley defeats Charlotte and is rebirthed and is rebuilt and is to where she was before she was destroyed by Charlotte. How about it?
I love it, but I don't know if it's going to happen or not.
Not a chance.
I love it. I think that's a great idea. I'm a big fan of hers as well. I think she should have moved up from NXT already. She's got real presence. She's good in the ring. Her promos are good. I want to see that. I definitely would like to see that, but she's got to be the one that comes out on top, man. She's got to be the one. We can't have it with... just a replay of it again, because Charlotte's beat her once already, so we have to have that. It has to go the other way.
Taking a break. We are going to come back in the next hour. We'll chat a little AEW. We'll chat some NXT. Don't forget, Dave Meltzer is going to join us as well. And the first match of round two of the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament is still to come. Stick with us. A whole nother hour of Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
I'm Dan the Mouth of Ransom.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old folks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty farts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the old folks. Tough guy!
If you're a fan of Sunday night's main event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday night's main event.
A little bit later in the show today, but weekly, we do welcome back Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer newsletter. Dave, it is the first time we're talking to you, so this is the last time I'm going to say it. Happy New Year.
Thanks. Happy New Year.
Let's talk about the way WWE welcomed us into the new year, and that was with Monday Night Raw. I just want you to lay out what actually happened with a nonsensical promo from Bill Goldberg that seemed to be replying to a promo from Drew McIntyre that didn't happen.
Well, there you got it. Drew McIntyre was supposed to say something, and I don't know what, but they were running late on time. I guess the match with Keith Lee went long. So they cut out the Drew McIntyre promo. Bill Goldberg didn't know that. So he comes out and does his rebuttal, and now it doesn't make any sense at all. And that's what happened.
I would assume, tomorrow night they're going to try and save this. I guess Drew cut the promo he was supposed to cut last week, this week? Like, how are you going to remedy this?
Yeah, I'm sure that Drew McIntyre is going to try to make sense out of it. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if Goldberg's even on the show. If he is, then, and he should be, then maybe they can just replicate it or something. But I think that they need to explain it, yeah.
Even if that was the case, Dave, like, looking at the way, number one, you had breadcrumbs dropped for Goldberg challenging Reigns. That doesn't make sense. Along with that, you know, you have a guy walking around the back wanting to destroy legends, yet Goldberg is going to be offended at Drew saying something.
The idea of, they called Bill Goldberg on a Saturday before the Monday. They were running into Royal Rumble, and they literally had, I mean, they've got nothing planned in advance. I mean, that's the one thing that you can tell from watching these shows, that this is done by the seat of their pants every Monday and Friday.
Oof.
And you know, I mean, look at the Adam Pearce thing. It's like, it's very clear that they have a Royal Rumble, and they had nobody ready. You know, I mean, and you can watch. They don't even have anything ready for WrestleMania. They got to bring back Bill Goldberg, you know? I mean, that's, what does that tell you? I mean, there's certain ideas, but there's, like, usually at this point in time, you know, we're in January. There should be this really hot program that they've spent months, you know, teasing and building up, and that should be your two WrestleMania title matches. And, you know, we don't have that. I mean, we may have Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan as far as... you know, Drew McIntyre, I have no idea. They could always go. I suppose they could go with The Fiend because everybody else has been taken. But it's like it's not like there's anything sitting there that we should know. We should know the top six matches of WrestleMania, even without being told one of them, just by how television is going right now. And we don't know one of them.
So how do you think it does play out with Goldberg, Dave? Does he win the title from Drew at the Rumble and then Reigns? Or, like, how do you even make Goldberg work is, I guess, what I'm asking.
Yeah, I mean, you could do it, but I think that Bill Goldberg beating Drew McIntyre at this point would be a horrible decision.
Me too.
It's just going back in the past. You know, it's like, I know that, like, you know, he can lose it and win it back and everything like that, but... You know, I think him losing to Bill Goldberg would just be, you know, a horrible decision. But they have nobody else ready and over. That's the problem. So they may do that.
Do you think also that maybe that, you know, they are so desperate, maybe they're just bringing Goldberg in for this and Drew beats him to get stronger and that's the end of it? Or is that wishful thinking?
I would think that that's what's going on. I would think that, but I don't know that.
All right, well, we all agree it's a horrible decision, so we look forward to Goldberg defeating Drew. Cool. Marty Scurll, parting ways with Ring of Honor. It was said to be a mutual parting. What now for Marty Scurll? I mean, WWE was interested and does have a bit of a reputation at this point, Dave, of sweeping allegations under the rug.
Yeah, but you know, it's usually with people that they already have under contract as opposed to hiring new people. I don't know what their mentality is involved with Marty Scurll. Obviously, a year ago, you know, but a year ago everybody wanted Marty Scurll. That's why he got the biggest contract in Ring of Honor history. AEW wanted him, WWE wanted him, New Japan wanted him. I mean, New Japan would not have the stigma because it's just a different country, and they just wouldn't. WWE would, but I don't know that. How strong that would be as far as a new hire. I think it would be a tough one, but I can't say that for sure. And AEW, I think it would be tougher.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be real tough for AEW. I mean, I don't know what their mentality is, but, you know, I mean, they didn't hire Tessa Blanchard, and she could have helped that company immensely. And you know, there were people who wanted to hire her, but the feeling was is that, you know, I mean, they made their call not to, so there you go.
Hmm. What about Dalton Castle's future in Ring of Honor?
I don't know what Dalton Castle's future is in Ring of Honor, you know, as far as going forward.
Okay. New Japan, we wanted to chat about this. We haven't touched on it on the show as of yet, but Mouth, I know you had a bunch of questions and wanted to chat.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, again, I thought it was both shows were pretty spectacular. I think I leaned a bit towards night two just because Takagi and Jeff Cobb had such a great hard-hitting match. I wanted to ask you, Dave, first off, before we get into individual stuff, the idea of the two-day show, it seems to work. I think it was a good idea in the environment we're in now, but do you think this starts to become a tradition now where Wrestle Kingdom is 2 days?
See, the thing is, okay, so this year convinced me that 2 days is better than one, because I went to the one-day show and watched these loaded lineups where everybody got rushed and maybe two matches would get, like, the optimum time or three, but everybody else would kind of get gypped on time. And this year, nobody got gypped on time. I saw not one match where I go, man, I wish they had 5 minutes more or 10 minutes more to tell their story. Which every other year at the Tokyo Dome, I would think that about half the matches. So from a fan perspective and a match perspective, I like this better. Now, that said, it's at the end of the day, it's economics. And the economics this year weren't good, but it's not fair because the whole world is weird. So I think the first year was a super success. I think they should do it next year. But if next year, you know, if you go in there and your second day draws 15,000 people, then you got to reevaluate it. That's not a good thing. So we don't know. I mean, all I know is, like, year one, when you did 40,000 people sell out the first night and 30,000 plus the second night, that was a huge success. And then this year, by the usual standards, it was a huge failure, but we can't use usual standards because everything's all whacked out. So the jury's out. So next year would be, you know, what they do on day two. I mean, day one, January 4th, I think will always draw well. If January 5th can draw decently well next year, then I would make it a 2-day tradition. If it doesn't, then you got to reevaluate things.
Yeah, wrestling fans love tradition. So myself, if it gets established, I could certainly see it happening year after year.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome as a fan because you get to go there and see two shows. And again, now you know, especially this year. I mean, I would say if you combine the two shows. And the quality and everything, this was the best in the ring Tokyo Dome ever. It was better than last year. It was better than the year before. So that's a positive.
Yeah, definitely. How did you feel about the same guy being in the main event, though, both nights? Or was the story good enough that it doesn't really matter that Ibushi was in there?
I think you're always going to have the same, you know, at least one guy in the main event both nights because of the world champion, you know, and you're going to have if the guy loses the title on night one, he's still going to have to defend it on night two. I mean, the new guy defends it on night two. So you're always going to have one guy in both main events as long as you headline both shows with a championship match, and you should. So that doesn't bother me in the least. And I thought, you know, what an incredible performance, 83 minutes.
Yeah.
I think, was that the number, 83 minutes between the two nights? And
right, yes, between the two matches. It was insane.
Yeah. It was just incredible.
Yeah, amazing. And speaking of Ibushi, obviously this is his big push to the top. It looks like Sonata is the next program, but ultimately, what do you see for the big program for Ibushi through the year?
Well, luckily, there's a lot. I mean, you know, Okada's sitting there, Will Ospreay's sitting there, Naito rematch, of course, Jay White down the line, because they're 1-1 in this, you know what I mean, in their last two meetings, and Jay White had the match of his life. So, you know, that's, and there's, you know, like Sonata and Shingo Takagi, and, you know, you can always bring Tanahashi back for a match. I mean, it's, they've got the whole year mapped out. They could do a whole year of title matches, you know, with no problems.
That's so amazing compared to what we were just talking about with the WWE, where they're literally just throwing stuff at the wall. These guys have it. They always have seem to have it all planned out. You mentioned Jay White.
It's like the whole thing. WWE is every week is trying to figure out what they're going to do on Monday and Friday, and Ghetto is booking 2 years ahead, and that's how you see the difference. I mean, he literally has 2 years of main events that he's pretty much got in his head. And you know, injuries and guys leaving will force him to make changes, but he's still got that two-year idea. You know, I mean, I'm sure that this Kota Ibushi winning the two nights this year, I would presume that he had this idea 2 years ago.
Wow. It's amazing how much they plan it. You mentioned Jay White. He cut that promo about leaving, but he's not going anywhere, right?
I don't think so. All I know is that he told people in 2018 that he had just signed a 7-year deal. So if that's the case, he's not going anywhere. But I don't, you know, I mean, did he? I don't see why he would not be telling the truth there. It certainly came off to me like it was an angle, but I can't say that 100%.
All right. Well, another, like you said, another great year for Wrestle Kingdom. That's for sure.
You know, Dave, Wrestle Kingdom went two nights this year. Do we have a firm plan that WWE is only doing their one night of WrestleMania? Because we're kind of still in the same pandemic world, or are they going to split Saturday Sunday again?
I don't know. Nothing's been said. I think as we come, I don't think that you want to commit to anything this early anyway, because you just don't know. I think that whatever decision they make, I think would probably be made in mid to late February. So at that point, but I would think that the two nights should certainly be a strong option. And probably, you know, again, I don't think we're going to have fans in the building. Yeah. So at that point, the two nights become preferable, I think.
As a viewer and someone who's covering it, I mean, I completely agree. No one needs 8 hours of the current.
Yeah.
No one needs 8 hours anytime.
Period. Yeah.
Never mind of the current incarnation of the product. Thank you, Dave, for this week. Observer-wise, what do you have going on that we should tell people to find?
Well, this week's issue, you know, obviously a lot on Brody Lee and Bobby Davis and Tokyo Dome, obviously, are the key things. And then this coming week, you know, we'll have to see. I mean, I've got some year in review stuff that will probably run, and I got 3 or 4 different ideas. If no great news breaks, but something big will break that might get in the way of some of the ideas. But you know, I kind of wanted to look at, you know, where everything stands, which is, you know, as far as like you know, the year to year TV stuff. But that's hard because, I mean, I have to throw out so many weeks, because if you look at like this week, just as an example. You know, the Monday rating wasn't indicative of anything. I mean, it was all about because of Hogan and Flair. The Wednesday rating got destroyed by, you know, the real news. And, you know, with SmackDown, I mean, this week was a legitimate number, Friday's number, but the previous Friday was January 1st, so that doesn't really tell you anything, going against the football bowl games and just being January 1st. The week before that was that was coming after the NFL game, so that was completely skewed. And the week before that was on FS1, so it's funny, like, you know, ratings are the most important thing in wrestling business-wise, but there's so many weird factors that are making evaluating it, you know, not, you know, like you mislead yourself if you actually take it seriously. Starting this week, that's no longer going to be the case. So things will be back to normalized, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, like look back and who's holding up better than who's, you know, than the other ones, and what does that tell you? I think I kind of know, but, you know, sometimes when you go through stuff, you learn. Like in August when I did this in August, and it really struck me about how, you know, WWE really had fallen much faster than like you really understood by just watching week by week. And I'm kind of want to go through that and see exactly where they stand right now. And, you know, both WWE, NXT, and AEW, you know, AEW, just, you know, kind of where they stand.
All right, Dave. Well, thank you very much for this week. Look forward to checking that out. All of it at WrestlingObserver.com. And we'll speak to you next week at this same time.
Okay. Have a great week.
You too. We shall continue on here on Sunday night's main event. The Mouth coming up next. Turnbuckle Trivia. We have got the first game of round two. And then, You know, I feel as though you haven't had enough venting about Goldberg. So why don't we, let's round things out with some feedback for that. Sound good?
Oh, yeah, that sounds very cathartic, Jay. Let's do it.
All right, stick with us. Sunday night's main event, Turnbuckle Trivia next, to round things out right here on TSN Radio.
Now Ziggy played guitar, jamming good with Webb and Gilly.
Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday night's main event. Remember, you can get an extended version of this show commercial-free each and every week by becoming a patron of the show at patreon.com/SNMEradio. Plus, we also dish out numerous other weekly podcasts, including Raw and AEW Dynamite reviews, all patron-exclusive, and all can be in your inbox for just $1 a week. Patreon.com/SNMEradio.